last matter on today's call is state on behalf of Honora A. versus Michael A. and Akeisha H., case number 17-1195. Counsel, please approach.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Avis Andrews from Fremont, Nebraska. I represent the appellant, Akeisha Henley Velasquez. This is a case in which the parties are the parents of a child who was 8 years old at the time of trial. My client was planning to move to the state of Idaho, wanted to take the child with her, informed the father of that fact and suggested a mediation. At that point, the father filed for a modification, and ultimately there was a trial, and the court determined that my client did not meet the standard to remove the child from the state and changed the physical custody of the child to the father. It is our position that in this particular case, the best interest of the child would be served by continuing to live with the mother. We believe that there are several factors that should be given special weight in this matter. The first being the fact that the child has lived with the mother her entire life. She was born in September of 2008 and had been with the mother since that time. The parents themselves were together approximately the first 1.5 to 2 years of her life and then had separated after that. So I believe the evidence shows that the child was very bonded to the mother, had lived with her entire life, and in any event, once a decision is made in this case, the child is going to be removed somewhat from the other parent, and that is too bad, of course, but in this particular case, the court found that there was a legitimate reason for her to leave the state, and we believe just the relationship with the child should be given a special consideration.
So you're saying the court abused its discretion in how it weighed the factors?
Yes. Yes, that would be our position.
What would be the most significant portion of that analysis by the trial court judge that would suggest an abuse of discretion?
Well, our position would be that the most important factor to be considered would be the fact that this child has two half-siblings that live with the mother. And by making this decision, then the court is depriving the child not just of the mother, but of the relationship with those other two children. And we believe that that relationship is very important for any growing child, that they need their brothers and sisters with them. And it's not just those two in the mix either. Her fiancé, of course, had two other children, and I think the evidence showed that this particular child was familiar with those, and they had lived together various times from approximately 2011 to 2013, and then from November 15th at times. He was in the military, so there were times they were separated. Their relationship was not continuous, but there were periods of time when those other children were involved, too.
So, Ms. Angela, your second assignment of error said that the court erred by failing to adopt an appropriate amended parenting plan. You don't discuss that a lot in your brief. What did you mean as when you raised that error?
As you will note in the order of the court, the counsel for the father was ordered to prepare a parenting plan, and along lines that the trial judge set out. And that was never done, so we don't have a complete parenting plan.
Do you think that creates a problem for us in terms of looking at the modification order as being a final order, since the court specifically directed that an amended parenting plan be drafted?
Well, our position is not that it should be sent back for that purpose. Our position is that it should be overturned for other purposes.
But we can't get to your other purposes if we don't have jurisdiction, and we have to have a final order, right? Would you agree that by the court's language in this modification order, there's still more to be done?
Actually, our position is that it is a final order, that between the judge's specification of custody and parenting time and reference that the parenting plan that was to be developed was to include the standard language, would therefore include the statutes also, that there is enough within that order entered by the court to make it a final order.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you that the court certainly set forth the material modifications that it intended to have, right? But does the fact that it actually left open the requirement to have the amended parenting plan completed with all these provisions contained in it, doesn't that present a little bit of a problem for us?
Well, I understand what you're saying. That is not our argument before the court. So we recognize what you're saying, but are not taking that position today. I'd like to say briefly that other factors that we feel should be weighted in favor of the mother, besides the bonding, the half-siblings, of course, we've stressed in our brief that she would be exposed to many new activities and educational experiences, and also that my client, should not be penalized. This was a military move. Her fiancé, the father of her children, was in the military. He is stationed in Idaho. We feel that that should be given consideration. The father, in his brief, argues, well, they aren't married. It's just a fiancé situation, and we would suggest to the court that, you know, we're in 2019 now and things just don't work that way, and that these my client and her fiancé, have a long-term relationship. They have two children together. They have good reason to be together. I do want to say a word on the child support. Our position is that it is not supported by the evidence, that it is difficult to say how it was arrived at in itself. The testimony indicates that Mr. Andreessen was self-employed at the time and had made a net profit of somewhere around $11,000 in the most recent year. Before the move, my client had made $18 an hour as an administrative assistant. After the move, she made $11.50 as a retail store area supervisor. She also had reserve income of $5,000 to $6,000. The child support calculation adopted by the court, first of all, doesn't include any of those figures. The best I can figure is that it is somewhere around $14 to $14.50 per hour for my client. As best I can tell, it's $20 or so for the father, perhaps off of his 2015 tax return, and then taking the higher end of the reserve income, the $6,000, dividing it by 12, and adding it to it. So our position is that it's not supported by evidence. Also, we believe that a deviation would have been appropriate because my client has two other children and that she supports, and that was very clear, and there was no consideration for that. And finally, she does have the children pursuant to the court's order 2 months during the summer and should be entitled to a reduction up to 80% for that period of time. So our position is that the child support is not supported by the evidence. I would like to reserve the rest of my time, if I may.
Thank you. Hello.
Good afternoon. Judge Reedman, Judge Welch, Judge Bishop. My name is Lindsay Moran Bryant of Seidner Law in Fremont. I'm here today on behalf of the appellee, Michael Andreessen. I'm here today on his behalf to request that the court affirm the entirety of the district court's order. And if the court's so inclined, I'd like to discuss with you the issue of the trial court's failure to adopt the amended parenting plan. And then if there's time, I'd like to address the other issues. The evidence before the court clearly shows that there is no amended parenting plan. The court clearly ordered it in the final order, or in the order, and it was to be approved and submitted to the court for adoption. The record does not indicate why or why not that did not happen. It indicates that shortly after the order, there was a motion for a new trial. Once that was determined, there was a notice of appeal, and that's all that's contained within the record. However, it is the appellee's position that the decree is a final appealable order and is properly within the jurisdiction of the Court of Appeals. And we base that upon a couple different cases. The first would be Bueller v. Bueller, 17 NEBAP 607, 767 Northwest 2D813. And that's a 2009 case where this court addressed a failure to include a parenting plan. Specifically, the district court in the decree addressed custody, the primary physical custody, and also ordered that there be liberal visitation. The court then ordered that the parties should go through mediation to discuss the parameters and figure out what that would be. This court found that it was without jurisdiction because of the lack of parenting plan, but I think it's different. What happened in that case was the final order came down, then there was mediation, and in between that is when the notice of appeal was filed. So as I read that opinion, it appears that the appeal was premature, that had it waited till after the mediation had been done, it would be completed.
So what happens here if an amended parenting plan gets filed, you know, a couple months from now, and one of the parties is not happy with how that amended parenting plan looks? If it's incorporated into this order, won't it be too late to appeal?
Yes, Your Honor, it would be too late to appeal.
So aren't both of you deprived of an opportunity to address any issues that might be in the amended parenting plan ultimately signed by the court?
No, Your Honor, I do not believe we aren't. And why I believe is because there's also a second case that I would like to direct your attention to. And I'm going to butcher these names, but Sitta v. Faca, 19 NEBAP 736. 812 Northwest 2D917. That's a 2012 case, and I think that that's a little more akin to where we're at. In that case, the court similarly addressed the jurisdictional question because there was no submission of a parenting plan. The court order did not have the parenting plan, but it also awarded custody. It provided for visitation, and a lot of those were more specific with the holiday visitation, and it also provided for telephone visitation. And this court found that although several of the requirements of Nebraska Revised Statute 43-2929-1B, which sets forth all the determinations that are supposed to be in a parenting plan, while all of those weren't covered, it did address, the court's order did address custody.
But that order didn't leave open submission of another plan.
That's true.
Plan, right?
That's correct.
So that's a little different. If in fact, in this case, if this modification order had just set forth, this is what the custody is going to be, this is how the parenting time is going to be, and here's how the transportation costs, if all that was in there, and there was no reference to changing any of the original terms of the existing parenting plan otherwise, it probably wouldn't be a problem. But the court specifically directs a party to draft a parenting plan to be approved by the other party and submitted to the court. So the cases that you're describing, the circumstances are different.
I understand, and yes, I agree with what you're saying. What differentiates and why I think that this still is along with Sitta v. Faca, and that it's not a jurisdictional issue, there may be another issue with the assigned and argued errors, is that the court says that the trial counsel was to draft a plan in comports with these items. And the orders that he sets forth are very specific. He addresses legal custody, physical custody, telephone, FaceTime, Skype visitation, the parameters and hours and dates of summer visitation, holiday visitation, school breaks, and also transportation costs. So I think that it may be a little speculative, and I completely understand where you're coming from, Judge Bishop, but he is very specific. And so in Sitta v. Faca, this is going to make me say it a thousand times. The court found that because that many of the issues had been addressed, it wasn't a jurisdictional defect.
Yeah,
that it may have been error. So that is why it would be the appellee's preposition that most of those determinations are set forth. The court ordered just basically a second document. I was looking through the statute, and I don't find a reference that says the parenting plan must be a second document. I think that that's common practice. I think that's what everybody does, and everyone has adopted that approach. But all of the specific, not all of them, many of the specific determinations required under the statute, the court ordered and said, this is what you're going to draft it. So I think that's how we remedy the difference in the cases and how we're distinguishing them, is that, yes, he says I want a specific order, but he gives very clear determinations on what is going to be in the parenting plan. And I don't know what else we would put in the parenting plan.
The order says to be prepared by the attorney for the father, and it shall be in accordance with the Nebraska recognized format and shall comport with this court's decision. So presumably it would have a lot of the other standard language which exists in the prior plan.
Yes, Your Honor. Nonetheless, I still would argue to the court, and it is the appellee's position, that that order does not create a jurisdictional issue, that this is properly before the court. And should you decide that that is appropriate and you go to the merits, I don't believe that this issue was properly assigned and argued as court rules. There is a short sentence in the appellant's brief addressing it, but there's no authority, there's no separate section. And even if you were to go beyond that and say that's okay, I don't believe that the error to adopt the amended plan is error or reversible error.
What about the removal? I mean, this mother had physical custody for a while, and so for the court to change the physical custody to dad, what's your best argument? I mean, I realize you submitted a brief,
yes,
but what would be your best position in terms of the removal factors? What was the court putting most of the weight on here?
I don't know, Your Honor, what most of the weight was put on. It seemed that there were several factors. In my review of the factors, it seems that this was a fairly quick and rash decision by mother to leave the state. Her decision to move and notice and her actual move happened within a month, is what the record shows, in February 2016. She just went to live with her boyfriend. There is evidence.
They had children together.
They did have children together, and that's why we did not cross appeal the determination that there was a legitimate reason, because we do recognize that she does have children, and that relationship is important between this child and those children. The issue is that there's just not a lot of evidence in the record to support that removal was appropriate. There's no difference in schools. There was no indication that the school in Idaho would provide any benefit. The job enhancement, career enhancement, her main testimony regarding her job enhancement was that now that she could couple her income with her fiance's, was that they had more money. She actually took a pay cut when she moved to Idaho. She didn't have any job prospects. She had an interview and that she did not get that job. She was a stay-at-home mother for some time. And that in itself is a tremendous job. But if we're looking at enhancement of income, she took a pay cut. She is going to lose time with her siblings and her mother, but she also has a significant extended family. She and the appellant lived with her grandmother for some time, the appellant's mother, most of the time they were in Fremont. She has cousins, aunts, uncles, along with the appellee's extended family. She loses all those. I don't feel that any of the evidence presented rises to the level collectively or one specific factor that removal would be appropriate. She has too many ties, too many connections to Nebraska. And the move to Idaho, a lot of things were up in the air, including the evidence that they're probably going to have to move again. It's a military family, so their ties to Idaho may be significantly limited.
What about the child support and the lack of deviations in the child support calculation?
I believe that the appellant has the obligation to show the court that a deviation is warranted, and there wasn't any evidence. I don't believe that she requested it. I believe there was a proposed calculation given to the court, and a deviation wasn't requested. There was some evidence regarding, obviously, yes, she has two siblings, and the income of the boyfriend. But other than that, no other evidence, and I don't believe that the court can guess or read minds as to what a person wants unless they ask for it. So I would respectfully ask that you affirm the order in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time do we have for rebuttal?
1 minute.
Thank you.
Thank you. Three things, if I can get to them. One, I think it's going would be the appellant that would be penalized by father's counsel's failure to prepare that amended parenting plan and kick it back to square one without a resolution as far as the issues that the main issues that we've been arguing in front of the court. Second of all,
wasn't a notice of or a motion for new trial filed?
Pardon me?
Was there a motion for new trial?
There was. And, of course, there was time to prepare that before that, during that, before the appeal was filed. I don't know why it was not. But my client has constraints on when she has to have her appeal filed and can't just wait around for that and acted within those periods of time. And now we don't want to be penalized for following the statutes. Second of all, we would argue that it's more beneficial to the child. Of course, she has relatives, and she has quite a few relatives in Nebraska, including her father. But we would suggest it's more beneficial to be with her mother and her siblings as opposed to more distant relatives. And that should weigh very heavily in favor of the mother. I'm not going to get to the third one. So thank you.
The matter is submitted. Thank you, sir. Everybody, please. Thank you.